President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions yesterday told America that the DACA program is ending.
I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. The DACA program was implemented in 2012 and essentially provided a legal status for recipients for a renewable two-year term, worker authorization, and other benefits, including participation in the Social Security program, to 800,000 mostly adult illegal aliens.
The administration gave Congress 6 months to act before removing the protections for the young immigrants who came into this country as children. Should Congress make the DACA program permanent? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will talk with the executive director of a Milwaukee-based immigrants' rights group this hour to discuss the consequences of ending this program, how the young immigrants known as Dreamers are reacting, what the group would like to see, and we will welcome your questions and your reactions, too. Are you or do you know a dreamer? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Did President Trump do the right thing or not? We'd like to hear from you. Let me welcome our guest. Christine Newman Ortiz is the executive director of Voces de la Frontera. She's also founder of this Milwaukee-based group that advocates for low-income immigrant rights. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. I know that Voces organized a march last night in Racine to demand that Congressman Paul Ryan pass a bill to make DACA permanent. I know you weren't personally in attendance, but tell us who was there.
The invitation extended to folks statewide to send a message to U.S. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan that really the ball is in his court, that in the absence of the DACA program, that it is a congressional issue and that he has to provide leadership on this to back up his words of recently he said that he supports it, that it should be a congressional issue. And I do believe this came in part because of the kind of pressure that was being that he's feeling and certainly from people in his own district to introduce a bill that would make these protections permanent with a path to citizenship, and that is not, it's a clean bill, that it's not about adding money for the wall or this or that or guest worker visa programs that have been shown to just be a new level of exploitation for immigrant workers. So just a clean bill that provides a path to citizenship for young immigrants that that have benefited from DACA.
Yes. Christine, how are the Dreamers in Wisconsin reacting to this news?
Well, the one thing I also want to point out for folks that don't know is that the march really culminated with was led by DACA youth, including folks in his district that have been on a hunger strike since September 1st. And I think it's really sent out, I think, shockwaves throughout the country, really, for there are 800,000 DACA recipients. This was something that was not gifted to immigrant youth. It is an executive order, one under the Obama administration, but it was something that that people fought really hard to win in the absence of movement from Congress. And it was led by immigrant youth. You had a very powerful immigrant youth that came out as part of the Undocumented and Unafraid, really inspired by the LGBT rights movement, to come out publicly about their immigration status at risk of deportation. You had very bold actions that were taken, including civil disobedience, to really advocate for for pressure on President Obama at the time to provide some form of protection in the absence of the DREAM Act, because many of the immigrant youth are called dreamers because of the DREAM Act, which is a bill that was introduced back in 2000 that would create a path to citizenship for people, young children that were immigrant children that were brought to this country at a young age. That's really who falls under this category. And so for many, many people that were part of that movement, I mean, for many who have benefited since that movement and don't remember that history, I think in particular it's been shocking. Obviously, there is tremendous, there's a feeling of fear, I think now that certainly more shock. But because this is something that did provide a sense of security, it provided a renewable work permit for 2 years. It provided the ability to drive legally in the United States and in Wisconsin, I should say, too. And what that's done is, I have seen with my own eyes how it's transformed people's lives. I mean, young people, one of our members, for example, and this is not unique, was in the situation where, he was getting his college degree, was able to finally graduate from UW-Milwaukee. And again, this is not with federal or state financial aid, but, you know, through their own means, really endure and persevere to be able to pay the tuition costs and all that. So really, many, oftentimes, a long journey to get that, to achieve those educational goals. And with DACA, was then able to use that degree in their profession and then turn around and being able to pursue their career, to be able to, which was in computer engineering, and then to be able to help his mom. I mean, in his case, his mom was single mom who's raised their kids because the father died in a workplace accident. And at that time, the petition that was through the father was no longer available. So the mom and the kids were out of status. All of those siblings, including himself, were DACA recipients. And so it affects not just the recipient, it affects their family, which proudly, in most cases, really were able to help their families, both with driving, because driving without a license in Wisconsin, second offense, driving without a license becomes a state charge. And now under the Obama administration and the repeal of the previous executive order, anyone is a target. So if you're driving, second offense, driving without a license becomes a state charge. You get processed through the county jail. And then that information is shared with ICE. So it's definitely opening up folks to deportation, even though they say we won't. In fact, it's just part of that broader strategy of opening up others to deportation. And I think it makes it so blatant that this is the justifications are so such a lie. It exposes just the cruelty and the what at heart of it, which is, you know, xenophobia and racism, which is a scapegoating, which is really at the heart of what it is, because these are young people that have persevered, are exemplary, are giving back to their communities, are giving back to their families, and are loved and supported and are part of our community. And the one thing I will say is that I think it has opened up a lot of eyes, and we've seen people come forward and provide important leadership. And I think that's absolutely what's going to happen, because the immigrant rights movement has, over the years, created a broad network. And I think where there isn't one, ones will be created to get involved and put this demand on Congress to look to look to Speaker Ryan and other representatives in Congress for a solution.
We have just a minute before our news break. Both of Wisconsin's U.S. senators say they want to find a way for Congress to codify DACA. House Speaker Paul Ryan, as you mentioned, wants Congress to fix this. Does this give you confidence, just briefly first, and then we'll talk more after the news?
Sure. I think that we have to look at their record. Baldwin has a good record. Senator Johnson does not. So I think people like to do classic, be a classic politician, tell you kind of what you want to hear. And we really have to be clear about what we're demanding.
Yeah. We will talk more after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio about DACA, the program that was put in place by the Obama administration that protects from deportation young immigrants who came into this country as children, the Dreamers. Do you want Congress to act to make this program permanent? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Wisconsin immigration activists oppose President Trump's decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. Last night, some Dreamers and activists marched in Racine. They are calling on House Speaker Paul Ryan to pass a bill to make the DACA program permanent. We are talking about DACA and what it has meant to these young immigrants who came into this country when they were children. This affects approximately 800,000 people nationwide. About 8,000 DACA recipients make Wisconsin home. And according to stats, another 6,000 were eligible to apply until yesterday. So we are talking about the announcement that ended this program, but gave a six-month delay to allow Congress to act. What do you want Congress to do? And how did DACA affect you? Are you a Dreamer? Or do you know a Dreamer? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think that this program, DACA, was good for the country or not? Do you support or oppose President Trump putting an end to it? We have open lines for you as we talk with Christine Newman Ortiz, who is executive director of Voces de la Frontera, which is a Milwaukee-based group that advocates for the rights of immigrants and low-income families. We do have Mary Jane in Waukesha on the line. Hi, Mary Jane.
Good morning, Joy. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I understand that your son is friends with a Dreamer.
Yes, he is. We met his best friend when he was age four. Lived in the same neighborhood, went to elementary, middle school, and high school all together. They both have now graduated, and it's tough seeing the applicants for the DACA program not to be able to drive and not to be able to get a job. Especially what do you do after you graduate? People are excited to go to their next step or level in life, and the applicants the undocumented are not able to do that until they get that approval, and then they can be a part of our society. I mean, what you do with these kids that come here when they're age two and they start entering the system, and now they're kind of in limbo. Mm-hmm. And we have taken him everywhere on all of our travels, all over the United States, up north, and birthdays, and just everything. And it would be really hard to send somebody back to their native country when they don't even, when they're, all they know is the United States.
Yeah, and thank you very much, Mary Jane. That illustrates what many say is that a lot of the dreamers are know only the United States as their home. Christine, where would they go?
I think that's a perfect description of the DACA recipient, young people that came here at a very young age. They are culturally part of the United States, part of Wisconsin, and it's a very frightening idea. And in some cases, I mean, the reality of why people are here has to do, and why their parents made such a tremendous sacrifice, is that in certain regions, let's say like Mexico, obviously there's other countries, but the situation is very dangerous. And it's not just even about poverty, which obviously the need to provide for your families, of course, for any human being is a necessity. But also in some cases, and that situation has only gotten worse, extremely dangerous, just because of the organized crime, the level of organized crime in certain parts of Mexico. So we have a need. These are young people that have are part of our community. I really appreciate Mary Jane calling in, mm-hmm. because I think it's absolutely essential that we want to get the word out. We want to get the word out that for DACA youth to get involved in this movement, to speak out, and to not speak out alone, but folks like Mary Jane, her son, and others around him speak up and stand with her son's friend to really say that we're not going to allow you to rip apart our community. We're not going to allow you to rip apart this family, and really call the question. And I think we are in a different period. I mean, I've been working on immigration reform for 10 years now, and which is why this movement for pressure through executive order happened. But I do believe we are in a different time where the threats are greater. There's a there's a recognition that within the administration that the times are different, that we have individuals there, Sessions included, Trump included, who really their brand of politics is dangerous, extremely dangerous, that it's aligning with a white supremacist ideas and agenda. And we're seeing expressions of that in terms of like the boldness of white supremacist groups coming out, and these policies are really intended to persecute immigrants, and immigrants are not the only groups that are being persecuted, and we've seen a tremendous resistance with the Women's March, with the marches at the airports, with the resistance against 287G here in Wisconsin in February that inspired strikes and business closures throughout the country. And so I think there is a scale of involvement that we haven't seen before. And we just, I think it's critical that DACA recipients and those around them step forward and demand change and demand a bill that is going to provide a path to citizenship and that protection without selling out anything else. And that was my hesitation when we went to break at the beginning, was because when someone says, well, I support it, it's like, I support it if X, Y, and Z or under these terms. And we need clean support. There's broad, the majority mm-hmm. of people in the United States support the Dreamers, support DACA, and we have to make sure to put the kind of pressure that's needed on them. I will say we also need to organize locally, because this is part of a two-pronged strategy of Trump fulfilling his promise, which was on the one hand to set up this infrastructure of mass deportation and racial profiling, because that's going legally hand in hand with it, which is also to through state and local, put pressure on state and local to remove any kind of obstacle to deportation and profiling of people. And we're seeing that expressed. I mean, one is through the demand on Milwaukee County saying, no, you're a sanctuary county. We're going to take away federal dollars unless you take away this verbiage, anti-discrimination verbiage, that says we value and support the diversity in our community. We stand against 287G, which would turn local law enforcement into immigration agents, and so forth. So that's one pressure that we've seen. And actually, there's a state bill that's been introduced, which we see as a very real threat, and which was defeated last year with the Day Without Latinos and Immigrants, a general strike of tens of thousands of people that went to Madison. That has been reintroduced, and I think emboldened under the Trump administration. That's the one that was just signed into law in Texas. And then local work against, encouraging. There's now 39 local law enforcement that say we don't want to play the role of immigration. Sheriff Clark just resigned. We have to recognize the tremendous mounting pressure that was on him because of his record of abuse and him wanting to bring 287G to Milwaukee County. So I think that kind of local work to support good policies that integrate immigrants, protect against deportations, like, say, school zone resolutions, IDs, local IDs, and then pushing at the state level. All of that has to go hand in hand with this pressure on a solution for Dreamers, because it's a two-pronged strategy, one to actively persecute and one to remove protections.
Paul emails, here's a different perspective. He says DACA deserved to be rescinded and does not think it should be replaced. He says Dreamers should not get preferential admissions into college and affirmative action employment over Americans. Now, so what about the viewpoint that while these Dreamers came into this country as children, they should not be granted so-called amnesty, and why? What's your response to that?
Well, they haven't. They and their families have contributed to our public education system, to our public system, because by the government's own account, the vast majority of undocumented immigrants in this country, and certainly in the state or county, city, contribute, are on the payroll, because we do have a system of don't ask, don't tell. And so by the government's own account, undocumented immigrants are critical support even for our Social Security system. And so they and their parents are contributing to the education of other families, and we only get ahead when we have a younger generation that's not limited to undocumented immigrant youth, but obviously to all youth. The more opportunities, educational opportunities, that access to higher education, the better. And we actually have a college gap. We have a gap. We need, certainly in Wisconsin, we need more college-educated young people. And we also, it's also been clearly shown that the more education you have, formal education, the better paying job you have, and then the more taxes you contribute to the public system. So for schools, for Badger Care, for Medicaid. So it's something that it's actually creates more poverty for more people and less resources when you take away opportunity. And it's really a false premise in general. The premise is that, there's not enough to go around. But the reality is that we're seeing an unprecedented level here in Wisconsin, nationally and globally, of tremendous concentration of wealth at the very, very, very top. And when you talk about who's got the power to actually bring or take away resources to our public education system, I think it's shameful that here, we know that in the state legislature right now, that we've seen in the last two budgets some of the worst cuts in the country to public schools. That's not undocumented immigrant youth in a position of power to make that decision. So the very people that have blamed immigrants are really voting for policies that are taking away vital resources for working-class families here in Wisconsin, and then scapegoating these young people. It's really the attitude of a bully, and so there's enough to go around.
Yeah, Christine,
there's too much greed at the top.
Let me play a montage of things that President Trump has said about Dreamers. He seemed to be a friend of Dreamers during parts of the campaign and early in his presidency. Let's listen to this.
I will immediately terminate President Obama's illegal executive order on immigration. Immediately.
It's a very, very tough subject. We are going to deal with DACA with heart. I have to deal with a lot of politicians, don't forget. And I have to convince them that what I'm saying is right.
Dreamers are terrific. He loves the Dreamers, though he did want to rescind President Obama's policy first thing. He did, though, last night tweet this, and I want your reaction. He tweeted, Congress now has 6 months to legalize DACA, something the Obama administration wasn't able to do. If they can't, I will revisit this issue. So what do you make of now President Trump saying that if Congress can't do it, he will revisit this?
I think that it's really up to, I think, to the public to really put the pressure on Congress, and if need be, on the White House, to come up with a solution. Because, Trump is always, I think, actions speak louder than words. And the fact is that he has rescinded it. So he's no friend. He's no friend to the immigrant youth. And I do think it reflects the pressure in the wake of that decision that has taken a lot of people by surprise. We know that a lot of employers a lot of the businesses that that have also hired DACA recipients who have also spoken out and brought pressure. There's been, the organizing is going to continue. That public pressure is only going to mount, and I think he's starting to feel it. And like I said, this is broad support, regardless of any kind of political party identification. So I think that now that the reality is really weighed in, that pressure is only going to mount. So I think that we've always known that DACA was not a permanent solution. Executive orders was only a necessity for the immigrant rights movement because of the inaction by Congress. And at one point when there was a majority Democrats even, and when the DREAM Act, which was a bill that was introduced in 2000, couldn't get passed, and then certainly under Republican majority, which has taken a very hardline stance, despite, again, a lot of support for Republicans, not just limited to Dreamers, but to some form of broad legalization for others. And so I just think that it does create a window for us in which to focus that energy, and I think it's possible. I think the people were surprised by the level of support around public health care under the Obamacare, because so many people had participated in it. Mm-hmm. And while it wasn't the perfect system, it was better than what was before, and so people were really willing to stand up and speak for it. So true with DACA.
Let me jump in because we have news next from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. When we come back, we will talk about a new plan to reintroduce that Dreamers Act, and in fact, U.S. Senators Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin plan to introduce a bill tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Wisconsin immigration activists and others, including Dreamers, who are directly affected by the Trump administration's plan to end the program known as DACA, rallied in Racine yesterday. They are calling on House Speaker Paul Ryan to pass the bill to make the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program permanent. And we wonder what you think. Do you want to see Congress pass legislation that would protect these young immigrants who came into this country as children? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Christine Newman Ortiz, who is executive director of Voces de la Frontera, which was involved with organizing the rally in Racine last night. Members of Congress from both sides of the aisle are on record supporting a permanent version of DACA. And yesterday, U.S. Senators Lindsey Graham, a Republican, and Democrat Dick Durbin said that they plan to introduce a bill again on Thursday. A Dreamers Act. Reports are that it lays out a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants who came to the United States as children. So what's your view on this, Christine? Is that promising?
I think it is, and but without illusion that if we don't put public pressure, if there isn't strong leadership on the part of DACA recipients and their supporters, that it'll just die without that. But I do believe we are in a different time, and this is the fact that this wonderful program was repealed, and that some of the most exemplary young people, you would hope to see, are being attacked and being threatened with deportation. That should be a real wake-up call, about the kind of government we're living under and the kind of administration, and that people do have the power to make demands and force their hand to now at least do the right thing. And I think, like, the whole fight on the health care was an example of what seemed an impossibility becoming possible because people stepped forward. And we need to continue having people step forward because the fact that these kids were stripped from these protections means that the threat to persecute and to deport and tear up families is real.
Hundreds reportedly turned out for the rally in Racine last night, and including some Dreamers who are quoted in some local news reports as saying that they feel frustrated and betrayed. One said, "I cried when I heard." Another said, "I was raised here. I went to school here. I work here. I play sports." And essentially only knows the Milwaukee area as home. We have Brandy on Facebook who says, "DACA has done some amazing work. Why get rid of something that even the most conservative among us support? Why hurt thousands just to spite Obama?" Christine, do you think that the Trump administration is doing this just to spite Obama?
I think that, for a long time, the Republican Party has taken, I mean, that has been their position, that attacking the Obama administration, President Obama, for passing the executive orders that were won under his administration. And so I think in part that's been kind of a platform that they've been running on. And the fact is that this is something that it's not a permanent solution, in that it's not what Congress can do, which is create a path to citizenship where you're not in this every 2 year renewable limbo, which it's something that is within his constitutional right to do. It's been done before, and basically all it did is say that The president has the authority to make priorities around enforcement and how we use our resources and really kind of larger public safety questions. So it was really under pressure from people that there was a scale back on deportations under the Obama administration. That was a continuation of Bush administration. And these important victories were won, which one of which was also DACA. And then what was taken away, of course, was the protection for the parents, DAPA, through a biased court, through a biased judge. So there has been this attack. But I do believe that Trump and Sessions, Chris Kobach, Bannon, even though he's out, it really reflects the fact that he was even in, and others who are very much aligned with the politics of white supremacy, ties with KKK and fascist organizations abroad and here, that brand of politics that is in power and is very consciously trying to recreate the past and build from that, of course, and we know how dangerous that is. So I think it's part of the same old, but there is an added threat that we have to take seriously and call it out for what it is. When Trump and Sessions say we want to go back to pre-1965 immigration levels, for people who don't know, pre-1965, that was part of the immigrant rights movement where, under the Kennedy administration, the civil rights movement was able to remove from our immigration system basically Jim Crow laws that said we're going to give visas to certain countries that we consider the people superior over others. So it was part of the civil rights movement that included, in terms of the gains to change that, to get rid of those racial quotas in our immigration system, was part of the broader immigrant civil rights movement. And that is, when he says, let's make America great again, that's the America he's talking about. And we've moved beyond that. And I think that's one of the themes of Voices, is not one step back. And sometimes you do have to take one step back to move forward farther. And I think that's where we are. It's a wake-up call of the people to get involved.
Donna in Madison is with us. Hello, Donna.
Well, thanks for this really great show. I work with a lot of Dreamers here in Madison, and like many of them, my heart was just broken yesterday and felt really devastated. But I appreciate Christine's call to keep working, and I think now we need to really pressure the people here in Wisconsin. And I know people in Madison might want to know that at 12 p.m. on Saturday, there's going to be an action in support of DACA. And so I think it's really important for those of us who aren't in that kind of immediate sense of crisis to get out there to support them and to stand up for these kids and their parents, who are such an important part of our community. So thanks for the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Donna. You would agree with that, Christine. Stay involved, get involved, go to rallies, do whatever.
Yeah, and I appreciate what Donna said around saying that, you know, support the kids and their parents, because one of the things that's been very moving in the whole immigrant rights movement has also been, you know, the term Dreamer became a self-identifying term tied to the Dream Act when that legislation was introduced. And one of the things that we saw in the fight to expand those protections was, you know, a lot of testimonies from the immigrant youth saying, you know, my parents were the first Dreamers, and they made tremendous sacrifices to create, you know, give me opportunity, and I want to, I love them and honor them, and I want them, you know, and I want those same protections. They are equally deserving of the same protections. So I think the fight is on to make DACA permanent, but I think that there's still that broader fight to address a broken immigration system. And I just think, you know, kind of the love that between the families and the tremendous sacrifices, which any person would do for their own family in the same circumstances, is really commendable, honorable, and it's something that needs to be supported. It's a human rights issue, and we do need comprehensive immigration reform, but I think we have to take our battles as they come. That's local, state, and it's to make DACA permanent. But the kind of stuff that I talked about earlier around the challenging this effort to implement mass deportation at a local and state level, we can't take our eye off the ball either.
Ned in Watersmeet, Michigan is with us. Hello, Ned.
Morning. I'd just like to know which other laws that King Trump or King Obama or whichever president should suspend or overlook.
Well, what's your Congress. Overall point, Ned?
Well, I think Congress should settle this and make it a law.
Yeah. So I don't know if you disagree with that, Christine, that Congress should legislate something and not have a president executive order something. Or do you?
Agree. Yeah. 100%. We've been fighting for that. And I, again, I think now is I do feel more optimistic in terms of the level of support, the fact that it's been in place, that people know its benefits, and just the times that we're in. I feel like there's a tremendous opportunity to finally force Congress to make it happen, and that's going to require everyone raising their voice in that process.
Yeah, we have a caller who I don't have time to put on the air, but he's concerned that legalizing DACA or making this permanent would just encourage more illegal immigration in the future. Very briefly, can you respond to that?
That the United States needs immigration. The problem is that we don't. We have a broken system where people are not able. I mean, you talk about someone who's been here since they were 3 years old. Their parents have been here even longer, and they are working and they are contributing to our society through taxes, through the sweat of their brow, and have not been able to adjust. I mean, dairy industry, lots of sectors of our economy depend, are made better by the contributions of immigrants. It's just that we don't have a good immigration system because we have a lack of legal visas, both family and employment, that have created this group of 11 million people without status. So we do need an overhaul. It's been a highly, unfortunately, politicized problem, and it needs a solution. And so I think, you know, getting Congress to act on for Dreamers is a start, is an important start.
Thank you so much for being with us. Christine Newman Ortiz is the executive director of Voces de la Frontera, which is a Milwaukee-based group that advocates for the rights of immigrant and low-income families. Thanks to Keely Boltina for producing this program. I'm Joy Kerr-Dean. This is the Ideas Network.